If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, it's Juice. Thanks so much for downloading the podcast during the offseason, but there's no offseason with us. We're going to be doing Kings and NBA content all offseason long, including now with the playoffs. So do us a favor, make sure you are subscribed. Make sure you drop us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Let's start the show.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, a bonus edition of the podcast. We are recording this late on a Monday night after watching a doubleheader of NBA playoff basketball. Morgan, I'm having so much fun watching these games.
I am.
But what?
But maybe I didn't enjoy the last game that we just witnessed.
Why is that?
Well, if you remember correctly, how many points did the T-Wolves win by? 26?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it felt like it was 100. And it just wasn't that fun of a game.
That's so interesting because the games we're talking about tonight, Knicks win a crazy game against the Pacers and the T-Wolves just dominated Denver to go up 2-0. They won 106-80. There was something as a basketball fan, I just loved what I saw from Minnesota's defense.
That's fine. I took joy in watching it. I can absolutely agree with that. But then when you also feel like it's completely out of reach, and you didn't feel like it was completely out of reach just because of what the score was, it was because of the way that Denver was playing. And I just wanted to see a little bit more magic, of maybe
That's
a little bit more life from them.
And now that you say that, I think going into this Denver-Minnesota series, my first thought was, this is going to be a hell of a series. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth affair. I did not have this drawn up of a 2-0 series lead. Not only a 2-0 series lead, but to be honest, it's just been beyond impressive from the Minnesota T-Wolves. What's been more impressive to you, though, tonight? Just maybe in general. Jalen Brunson, who has now four straight 40-point games.
Holy shit.
The last person to do that in the playoffs, Michael Jordan, 1993.
Of course.
Crazy.
Okay.
Or is it Anthony Edwards' emergence as this like two-way stud at 22 years old?
I wish my answer could just be both, because I think they're both such studs, and what they've been able to do in the postseason has been absolutely amazing. I'm just going to go right now with, I guess I'll just go with Jalen Brunson right now, only because I feel like he's Mr. Reliable. No matter what, his team can just jump on his back, give him the basketball, and he'll go, okay, I'll go ISO for the last 10 plays and make sure we finish off this game and get a W.
And before we dive into both of these games tonight, I'm curious how much you're thinking about the officials. Because in the Knicks-Pacers game, it seemed like it was a topic after the game. There was an illegal screen called on Miles Turner that was definitely suspect. Like, really, you called that? And then after the game, Zach Zarba, the main official, he talked to a pool reporter who asked him about a call in the game that was ruled an Aaron Nesmith kickball violation. After that play, Knicks ball, DiVincenzo hits a three to put the Knicks back up three. And then Zarba says after the game that, hey, we missed the call. And then in the Denver-Minnesota game, look, I'm not saying the officiating decided that game at all, but they let him play. They just swallowed the whistle. How much are you thinking about the officiating after tonight?
It's frustrating that a game like the Knicks-Pacers one felt like it was very much becoming decided by some bad calls or questionable calls, however you want to put it. That's going to happen all the time, right? But when it ends up being like an illegal screen at the end of a game, that's going to be the reason why, especially when it's a questionable illegal screen. Like,
and you're down one with a chance to maybe go up and win.
It feels like, hey, you're taking over. Like, let's take a step back and not make that call just because Dante DiVincenzo sells it. And then you look at the other game with the T-Wolves and Nuggets, and you go, holy shit, that was physical. That's what I want to see. At the same time, were there some times where it was just a little bit too much, where it was taken away from what some of these individuals could actually accomplish on the basketball floor? And we've already talked about this, but you got to find a way to fight through it no matter what's happening and what calls you're not getting.
Well, if you have thoughts on the playoffs, you can always email us too. We'll get to some of your questions or comments throughout some of these bonus pods that we drop during the playoffs. Hit us up, deuceandmo@gmail.com. Let's start first with Knicks and Pacers. Game one in New York. I'm going to go ahead and take six more of these games. Knicks, Pacers. Thank you for a good show.
Thank
you for a good show. Knicks get game one, 121-117. What a fourth quarter and what a game for Jalen Brunson, who had 43 points. There's so many things to go over from this game. It was insane. What's kind of your biggest takeaways jumping here to start this?
I was not expecting the Pacers to look like this. I thought maybe later on in this series, like they would understand what they needed to do. They would set the pace, play with more of their identity. Oh no, they were setting the pace. They were playing their game, pushing the shit out of the basketball on a make, on a miss. It didn't matter. They were pushing up the floor. I thought they did such a tremendous job of that in really just giving it to the New York Knicks until finally the Knicks toward the end, their guys were stepping up. They took back control and made sure to make it more of their game. They were being physical. They played more iso ball with Jalen Brunson. Sometimes I don't like that. I want you to go away from that. And other times I'm like, why? You can always rely on that man. So yeah, there's a lot to go over in this game. But I think my first thing was like, all right, Pacers, thank you.
Yeah, I was a little worried about the Pacers entering a game one.
Sure.
Right? It's Madison Square Garden. You know, there's so much hype.
There's newness. The Knicks are
This is a new thing for them. They're coming off a series against a Bucks team who's pretty shorthanded.
Yes.
The Pacers responded in this one. And I loved how the bench competed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something to take away that I look at.
The bench, yes.
The Pacers bench outscored the Knicks 46-3 in this game. Jeez. And we circled that as like a point going into the series. Like, hey, the Pacers have some depth here. Uh-huh. You know, Tom Thibodeau may need to lean into his a little bit more. Well, obviously, Tom Thibodeau leaned on his stars in the second half, but I thought TJ McConnell was wrecking the New York Knicks in this game. He was pushing in transition nonstop, pest, whether it was defensively. They're just trying to inbound the ball, and he's on a Knicks ball handler. He's ready to knock the ball out of bounds. He was just nonstop out there.
I love what he had to add. And I think when you look at his game and you think of him being such a pest out there, but then also being able to contribute on the offensive end, because if he was out there when Tyrese Halliburton was out there, for example, at the same time, it's, hey, Halliburton's our threat. We're going to make sure our defense is shifting toward him. We're going to let some other guys get some other opportunities, maybe sag off them a little bit. And with TJ, it was like, he was just doing his thing where he was attacking the paint. He only attempted one three-point shot. He missed it. But a fantastic job from TJ. Can we just go there? Why wasn't he in late in this one?
Yeah, he played like 2.5 minutes in the fourth quarter. And it's crazy to be like, you didn't play TJ McConnell in the fourth quarter of a playoff game? It's like, no, but if you watched his impact, mm-hmm. it was felt. Like, agreed. I felt like the Pacers looked their best tonight when TJ McConnell was on the floor. He had 18 points in this game.
Yeah.
He was 9 of 16 shooting. And right now, with what's happening with Tyrese Halliburton, his back must be a major factor because Tyrese was not even looking to score.
No.
Halliburton finishes with 6 points. He had 8 assists. He had 4 steals, a big one late. He had 3 big turnovers in the fourth quarter. He was just 2 of 6 shooting. He took 1 shot in the second half. And to me, that just doesn't add up. Yes, the Knicks were definitely focused on him
for sure. They were.
But, like, let's be honest. There's something more going on, and it has to be the back. That's the only explanation I have for him not being aggressive. He only took 1 shot attempt in the paint tonight.
It's wild. It's wild to think about because there's so many times, even when that switch, and it would be Hartenstein that would come up on
him. In that first quarter.
And I are like, take his ass all the way to the rack. Not taking him off the dribble. Now, we've seen Tyrese not be able to take a lot of people off the dribble.
But that's Hartenstein. He should be able to attack that.
That's one crossover. Get him to go the other way. Boom.
And that's the thing. Even if it's not going all the way to the cup, it's collapsing the defense, spraying out, which he's such a gifted passer. We saw some of those passes tonight. That is an issue if that's bugging him because he was so passive in this one. And they were denying him the ball, but there were multiple times where he was even touching the rock on offensive possessions tonight for the Pacers. So if he's out there, he needs to be more of a threat in some way. And that's the challenge. You know, we've seen the wrap on his back. It's constantly being heated. You saw it during the interview. Sure. It was all wrapped up. He's dealt with the back.
But it's kind of like you're saying, too, there were times where he still posed as a threat as just being that manager out there and being able to be that guy that, like, maybe it would be the hockey assist, right? He started something, even if it wasn't with him attacking the paint necessarily, it was still just one great skip pass that would lead to something else. Great. I get it. But you're just expecting more. It's not like you just look at the box score and you're like, I need more points from Tyrese Halliburton. It was you watch this game and you need more from your leader in Tyrese Halliburton.
And tonight they saved the game because the bench was big. Can you count on the bench doing that every game this series? I don't think
so. You don't think Obi Toppin can do between the legs, under the legs, whatever the shit dunk that was in
transition? That the best dunk in the game? Because Obi Toppin had that one in transition between his legs dunk on the break, or Aaron Nesmith coming off the dribble and dunking on Mitchell Robinson.
Oh, my God. Both those
There's dunks. So many moments in this game.
So nasty. So nasty.
But they got a lot from TJ McConnell, who didn't play a lot down the stretch. Isaiah Jackson, I felt like, gave them a huge lift. And that's not one that, you know, I think we were even thinking about. I was like, oh, Isaiah Jackson could have an impact. But he brought instant energy. And one thing that just popped for me, especially in that first half, was every time down, this guy was sprinting his ass back on offense.
Yep.
And that running was... It was beautiful, and he got some easy looks because of it. He was good on the glass. He held the Knicks in check, helping out on the glass, just with his presence out there, his energy. I thought he was great.
Yeah, 3 blocks and then 5 rebounds, right? Yeah. So, like, you look at his stat line off the bench with someone that you were just expecting to maybe add that extra energy, but instead contributed in so many other ways within the box score. So, yeah, him running the floor because they have such a fast-paced offense. They just run the shit out of that basketball. It was great to see that he got rewarded for running the bench. Tremendous job. Like we said, I know Obi Toppin had that really nice dunk in transition. I think that's an understatement. But him also adding those 12 points, those 2 3-pointers made, just some big moments, some momentum shifters, especially when it felt like the Knicks were down in some of those quarters.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, maybe I'm being overreactionary here, okay?
It's game one.
But we just talked about how impactful their bench was. Obi Toppin was 5 of 7, 12 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. TJ McConnell, his impact. He also had 3 steals out there, right? He's just a pest defensively. Mm-hmm. The Knicks didn't really have an answer. Isaiah Jackson's energy. Hell, even Ben Shepherd had some nice moments. Oh, yeah. Well, late in this game, these guys weren't playing. Fourth quarter, Toppin gets 2.5 minutes. Okay. TJ plays 241. Jackson plays 5 minutes, 5 seconds. So he got a little more burn. And then Ben Shepherd, 235. it just seemed like those guys were posing a problem for the Knicks.
Sure.
And you went away from them. And I'm not even making the case that all those guys should have been playing late game,
no,
right?
No,
of course,
no,
you're going to have Halliburton out there. You're going to have Siakam. Turner needs to play. Uh-huh. And you know that Halliburton, Turner, pick and roll had some issues. They were posing some big time issues for the Knicks at points in this game and really for teams all year. But I would have loved to see more TJ in this game.
So if you're putting in TJ, are you taking out Nembhard?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe, because guess what? You got to guard him, too.
And the only reason why I even suggest Nembhard, because I go, there's just so many little chaotic moments that maybe if you were trusting TJ a little bit more, even though Nembhard always brings that toughness.
He had some good moments in the fourth, too.
Yeah. No, so it's, Deuce, I mean, look, you can look at that fourth quarter and go, and see who you wanted to actually play from that second unit for the Indiana Pacers. But at the same time, the Knicks gave the Pacers so many different opportunities there late in this game to come back in it. You look at Jalen Brunson there at the end. I know they had that call in the backcourt where it was off of, I believe it was Nembhard's leg, foot, and it went out of bounds. Okay, great. But Tibbs was pissed that he even had to challenge it because he's like, Josh Hart, come back and help his ass. Like, what are we doing, you guys? And then once they did advance the basketball because they won the challenge, then they just like pass it back to Jalen Brunson, who gets stuck against the sideline and has to throw it off Tyrese Halliburton, but it bounces back off of him. Great call by Zach Zarba going the other way. And it's just like,
well,
these opportunities, I felt like the Pacers didn't do a great job capitalizing on everything, at least.
Let's talk about the play after.
What was the play after?
The Miles Turner illegal screen on Dante DiVincenzo.
Oh, yes.
Man, I'll tell you, watching the NBA, and I'm sure a lot of you guys who are watching games all the time, how many illegal screens you see in a game? There, to me, was nothing about that screen that looked like, oh my God, is no doubt about it, an illegal screen. It felt like, to me, a tough call in that moment. DiVincenzo did a job selling it. Mm-hmm. That felt like a tough call to make in that situation.
And even them challenging it, too. It's like, you're just not going to win that challenge at that point, because it's not even that it's marginal contact. I think Zach Zarba ended up saying it was, not allowing the defender to get through, whatever the hell the actual terminology was of that call and why it was not going to be overturned. I understood it, especially from the video that is there. But at the same time, it's like, this is the playoffs. People are going to be physical and like make a hard screen.
Where's the line? The thing you have to figure out is the consistency of it. Like, if you're going to call that, I was just still amazed at the call where Brunson blocked Turner. And on the first replay and second replay, I'm like, oh, he got him with the body. That's a foul.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that the Knicks challenged it, and they won the challenge. And Zarba says it's marginal contact. I'm like, okay. But then you call the illegal screen. So those are the plays that, for me, just leave me perplexed a little bit. I'm not really sure about that one. And it was a shame that the game kind of ended that way, because I felt like the final, three and a half, well, the whole game was just fun, but the final three and a half, it was like heating up, big plays, defensive moments left and right, some big shots by Brunson. You're like, I just want to see the Pacers get another chance.
Yep.
Let's see what the Knicks can do on defense. And that call was made, and then that was pretty much the game at that point.
And then Nembhard obviously had that wraparound on Brunson. That sent wasn't even inbounded, so it sent Brunson to the line, and they got the ball back. So yeah, there was just moments like that at the end that I thought the Pacers didn't do a very good job on capitalizing, just making sure that they were trying to play a little bit more perfect basketball there at the end. Maybe they needed other guys to step up. I loved the matchup between OG and Pascal Siakam throughout this one, though. I thought Siakam did a great job going at OG and playing some defense on OG as well.
Yeah, and OG had some nice defensive moments late in this game, too. Coming up with some big steals late.
Yeah. That's one on Halliburton.
One of the things, I think a lot of Pacers fans are going to be feeling that Turner call and be frustrated with it. But one thing I'm going to point to, the fourth quarter, the turnovers. In this game, Indiana, 8 turnovers.
Great.
Not a bad number.
No.
5 in the fourth quarter.
There you go.
And those turned into 10 points, and they felt just so big. The one with Halliburton, too lazy with the ball, not protecting it, with OG roaming around. OG just picked the pocket, led to an OG dunk, gets the crowd back into it. He had another turnover on a miscommunication, him and Turner, it looked like, and the ball was just kind of floated out there. That's crushing. And these are the moments, late game execution, on the road, tough environment, you got to lock in. Unfortunately, Halliburton had those two bad turnovers in that situation.
And look, what can you turn around and learn from game one if you're the Pacers? And with that late game execution, you know, you're playing against such a physical team like the New York Knicks where they're going to be relentless. And speaking of relentless, Josh effing Hart. I mean, that guy, he does not stop. The man does not stop. And there was times where I want to know how many offensive rebounds he ended up finishing up with, because I go, why aren't the Pacers putting a body on this man by now? I mean, you should be seeking him out, putting your body on him, and boxing out like just an old school fundamental drill at that point of the game.
He had four offensive rebounds. Jesus. And, you know, the second half, the first half wasn't much of an issue. The Pacers were kind of matching the Knicks at that point. The second half, it was different. Three of those offensive rebounds from Josh Hart came in the second half. And you could notice it from the start of the third quarter. The Knicks were coming out with a different approach. Mm. I felt like they were dictating the pace a little more, like you were saying. But going to Josh Hart, I mean, I don't know what more to say about it. We've experienced it firsthand watching him against Sacramento this year.
Son of a bitch.
You can't teach what he has.
No.
And there's relentlessness. There's a desire. There's a thirst. There is just a knack for the ball.
Yes.
The guy's 6'4".
Yes.
He's 6'4". Someone in our Discord said it best. It's like, he is like a 6'4 Dennis Rodman. And it's like, yeah. Yeah, he plays all the minutes. How many minutes did Josh Hart end up playing in this one? Josh Hart ends up playing 48 minutes.
Jesus.
He played every single minute of this game, had 24 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists. And how about the one where he missed the free throw, got his own rebound, put it up. I actually thought he got fouled. Should have been an A&1. He scored the bucket. He was amazing.
And there was another moment where he drove it all the way down. Like, they were looking for something, and he drove it down and then stayed composed in the air and still found a way to finish the basket. It was like the way that he was crafty and his ability to finish at the rim still and to finish in this game, finishing with his 24 points. I just thought it was absolutely amazing what he had to add. Not on both ends of the floor, just everywhere on the basketball floor.
Him in transition is disgusting.
He turns on the Jets. We talked about this in our game preview. We go, okay, I know the Pacers like to play fast, but, you know, Josh Hart, he can match it. He can, and every time he did do something good came out of it for the New York Knicks.
He was just massive. Second chance points in the second half, 13-2 in favor of the Knicks. The Knicks end up in this game with more fast break points, too, by 2 points over the Pacers. And that's, you're right, because Josh Hart, man, they get him the ball. And his ability to just go right to the rim and finish some of the finishes he has. You're like, how'd you do that?
Yeah.
How does that just happen? So Josh Hart, I thought, was incredible. The Villanova guys, that's seemingly what we talk about every time we watch a Knicks game. DiVincenzo with some big plays late, playing some good defense too. He had to deal with Halliburton at times, and that was significant. That's a lot of energy, and you have to come up big. But it all starts with Jalen Brunson, right? Like this guy. I mean, you said at the start of this, there are times where the Knicks offense goes stagnant and it's like, all right, this is a lot of Jalen Brunson here. It just feels like a lot of Jalen Brunson. But how do you argue against it when it's working?
Thank you.
And it's not just tonight that it worked. Yep. What he finished with, how many points in the fourth quarter? Did he have 18 in the fourth quarter? Was that the final number? I'm double checking here. No, because the free throw's late. He had 21 points in the fourth quarter, 6 of 10 shooting, hit that big three. He's also 8 of 8 at the free throw line. Morgan.
Magical.
They go ISO with it, and it doesn't matter. And they'll you're going to single cover him. Okay, I don't know if that's the right call. Well, late in this game, when he's got the ball, they're going ISO again. Well, the defender comes off DiVincenzo just a little bit. And what's Brunson do? He doesn't force it. He makes the right play, finds DiVincenzo, who buries the three. It was massive. Ends up being like the game winner for the Knicks tonight. He just makes the right plays.
He's one of those guys that I believe that even JJ Redick and LeBron James on their podcast had talked about, like some of the guys you just don't blitz, some of the guys you just do not throw a double at. And Brunson is absolutely one of them because he makes the smart, quick decision. Now, we saw here late him make some, I felt like some questionable decisions when the ball was inbounded or whatever. But For the most part, when he has the ball and he is starting to create in the half court offense and you throw a blitz at him, he's either going to make the right play, he is going to split the defenders, he's going to do something. So then what did we see the Pacers do? They started to not blitz him. They weren't doubling him. And he would just work his way down to the mid-range, hand in his face, contested, and make the most beautiful jump shot, make the most beautiful floater. Like, he doesn't even have to finish at the rim and go up against someone like Miles Turner. It is absolutely phenomenal how that guy just knows his own game so well and just has like ice in his veins, can shoot from anywhere on the floor, and in the biggest moments just steps up for his teammates.
He's done it all year.
All year.
He's done it now in the playoffs. 43 points for him in this victory. All five of the Knicks starters go in double figures because they play so many minutes. Hartenstein, yeah, we should mention him. He had some nice moments. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Loves that floater. I feel like the floater never is nothing but net. Always has to bounce seven times before falling in. As we look forward to game two.
Oh, can't wait.
One thing I wanted from OG's standpoint.
Yeah.
OG played some great defense in this game. That matchup, like you said, with Siakam is going to be a lot of fun. Those two guys know each other so well, battle in practice all the time. I thought OG in the first half had some moments where he's just not decisive enough offensively. Ben Shepherd's on him a couple of times. Make your move. If you feel the double team coming, pass it. Get the ball moving. I felt like there were a couple of times he was either indecisive or played right into their hands. Like, they're going to bring the help in those situations. Make the right play or go get a bucket. Just make the right play. He's got to be more decisive and more aggressive offensively. I like that he takes like open that. Threes.
More of a force.
The Siakam matchup, I think it's just going to go back and forth. Siakam finishes with 19 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 8 of 16 shooting. So good at getting to his spots with that midi. But I want a little more aggressiveness from OG when those mismatches pop up.
Fair. Like, be that threat. Be that force. Be someone else that they can rely on, because I feel like he is a good enough offensive player to do some of those things. You know, you look at even his box score tonight and you see some of those, big threes from 8, 3 or 7 from three-point land. But you're exactly right. Just be quicker. Don't be a ball stopper.
The other thing from the Knicks standpoint, I felt like when they were playing the Halliburton Turner pick and roll in the first half, they were switching it, right? They'd have Hartenstein come out, and you're going, on the surface, if Tyrese attacks that, maybe that's problematic. If he is in a spot where he's not attacking it, then keep switching it. I felt like any time they had the hard hedge or blitz, it was problematic because the help is not enough. Turner has great size, and when Hartenstein's away from the basket, that means the help has to be there perfectly. You're putting a lot of pressure on OG to get there, and the Pacers have shooting. That pick and roll is just deadly, right? We know it. They also made some mistakes in their coverage in some pick and pop situations with Turner in that first half. They got to dial that in a little bit. But one thing I'm not doing at this point, until Halliburton attacks on those switches, I'm going to go ahead and keep switching it.
Yeah. No, I hope he can turn it on. I really hope he can, because I think this series can be longer, obvious statement here, if Tyrese Halliburton can turn it on, and hopefully he's healthy. I mean, playing 36 minutes, but hopefully you can just see him do some of the things that we've seen him do during the regular season.
He has to take more than one shot in the set. I mean, 6 shots in a game?
I agree.
He took, wow. Here are the other guys who took 6 shots tonight. Nesmith, 3 of 6. Ben Shepherd took 5. Okay, so Jackson.
Oh my God.
4 of 6. Everyone else took more shots. McConnell, Toppin, Turner, 16. Siakam, 16. Nemhard took 10. Tyrese, he's too much of an offensive threat, right? His three-point shooting does so much. And yes, I'm going to acknowledge the Knicks defense is tough too. We have to acknowledge that. But we've seen Tyrese have big games against good defenses.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I know some of the threes that he was missing. I mean, I think even one, it was OG that ended up coming underneath the screen. He shot it, he missed it, but it was just like, you got to keep shooting that. Like, even though your shot has been up and down throughout this season, it still is something that this team, this Pacers team, needs to see, because it still can open up so many other opportunities for other guys throughout the course of a game.
And if I'm Carlisle, I'm leaning more into the TJ McConnell minutes. My last thing, if I'm a Pacers fan tonight, I'm obviously frustrated that you lose a game where you feel like, God, we just handled business here. Maybe a call goes this way. We have a chance. We win this game. We go up 1-0. The biggest thing I would come away with, though, the Pacers hung with this team. It did. This did not feel like the moment was too big for the Pacers.
Agreed.
It felt like they were just as physical. The rebounding wasn't as great in the second half. The second chance points not as great in the second half. It was more in favor of the Knicks. But I felt like they showed me something tonight, that they have the ability to play in a tough environment, even when their star guy is not able to give you what he can normally give you. They competed their asses off tonight.
Agreed.
They can keep playing like this. This is going to be a series.
Hey.
Give me seven games.
Give me seven.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, let's move on to the next game of the night. Game number two, Nuggets and T-Wolves. We just witnessed a championship-level performance tonight by the Minnesota T-Wolves. They take a 2-0 series lead, winning 106-280. No Rudy Gobert in this one. He missed the game. Congrats to him. Mm-hmm. Birth of his first child. So what was Minnesota going to look like tonight without Gobert patrolling? How was Denver going to respond? Morgan, what we just witnessed was something beyond special by the Minnesota T-Wolves.
Yeah. And I mean, it all started on the defensive end. And when I say that, really, I'm thinking now in my head too, I go, yeah, it started on the defensive end, but maybe the energy from the perfect performance going on that end of the floor created the shot-making ability that we saw from this T-Wolves team tonight. I mean, relentless on every single defensive and offensive play. It was just a fantastic performance by everyone on the Minnesota Timberwolves roster.
The officials let these teams play tonight.
Yeah, they did.
The big difference, Denver looked like the team that hadn't been there before.
Yeah.
Denver looked like the team that got rattled by some of the calls earlier. Michael Malone, on that sequence of the first quarter, which is crazy, right? Like, okay, I'm with you. Cat kind of just blew over
Jamal Murray.
Yes. No call. Then on the other end, transition, Ant Edwards looked like he got fouled in the play. Timeout on the floor. Ant's yelling at Mark Davis. Malone blows right by him and unloads on Mark Davis. Gets no technical. They didn't even blow the whistle on that.
And I kind of loved it. Just sure. From the standpoint, there's obviously some mutual respect and something else that is going on there. But also it was like, I'm going to let this roll out. I'm going to let everyone play. I'm going to let this game be as physical and as hostile as it's going to be. And I'm only going to manage it when I need to. And I thought at times it got kind of annoying and I wanted to see a few more calls from the officiating crew.
For sure.
But at the same time,
You have to play through it.
If you're not going to get those calls, what team is going to be the team that can actually play through it? And playing through it isn't just playing physically on the basketball court. It is playing through it mentally. And you saw the way that Jamal Murray played.
He was rattled.
You saw the way that the rest of the squad played. It just felt like they were all deflated.
They were all thinking about the officials. Where Minnesota, if anything, I think that works to their advantage a little bit because they play physical. So they want to bump you. But tonight, again, they're playing without a guy who's probably winning Defensive Player of the Year in Rudy Gobert. So what was it all going to look like? It was special. I mean, to pick out one person would be unfair because everyone was communicating. Yes. Everyone's on-ball pressure was fantastic. They were disciplined. High hands, hands up, deflections galore, steals. They end up in this game with 12 blocks, 11 steals. Who knows how many deflections tonight? Yes. Is there anyone who jumped out to you more than anyone else?
I don't think necessarily, but I think going off of your point too, really quick, as I do talk about maybe an individual that jumped out, you talk about guys, hands up, discipline. That wasn't the whole game, though. That's the thing. They were swiping down at times, even maybe catching a little bit of arm and having a little contact, but they set the tone so early, like, yep. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to play. And the refs were like, we're going to let y'all play. So that's kind of what happened as well. Now, I guess an individual that really stood out, could you say Ant always? Yes. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. But again, Deuce, Cat. He is maturing in front of our eyes. He is someone that annoys the shit out of us throughout the years. I mean, just truly, like the way they'll play, he'll complain.
Too much complaining.
Yeah, it's just there's sometimes where I'm like, oh my God, you're such a magical player, the way that you can stretch the floor, shoot from the outside. And then there's other times I'm like, you're letting everyone get in your head. And in a game like this, where he could have gotten rattled, and in moments you see it happen, but he does such a great job of coming back to it and just playing, like you said, championship basketball out there.
Well, I think that one of the biggest things with him now is it seems like he's checked his ego out. Like, I think he...
Maybe, yeah.
I think he has embraced the defensive philosophy there. Sure. And he's surrounded. I mean, for years, there was not a lot around him either.
Sure.
There was a lot of frustration. There was chaos, coaching changes galore, a lot of losing seasons. Well, what do you know? You put together a coaching staff that shows some trust,
yep.
belief, puts you in positions to succeed,
yep.
boost your confidence, but also hold you accountable. And I think Chris Finch and the staff has done an amazing job with that. Then you throw in someone like Anthony Edwards, who's kind of got the alpha mentality. Like, yeah. Hey, I'm the guy, but I'm also like uplifting everybody too. And yeah. I'm going to call you out for things too, but I'm also going to boost you as well. And so I think all of that has mattered, but Kat tonight brought it defensively.
Yes.
And you know, again, we talked about this after the game effort. One, dude, he's got to deal with Jokic. Mm-hmm. Jokic tonight, He gets his numbers, I get it, but if you watched it, you didn't feel like Jokic had a major impact on this game. You were like, oh man, Jokic is killing it tonight. Everything was hard for Denver in this one, and Kat made life more challenging. The help made life more challenging. Yep. Naz Reid did some nice things on Jokic. Jokic had 16 points in this game. 16 points? You hold him to 16?
And sometimes when you see a stat line for Jokic that's 16 points, 16 rebounds, 8 assists, you're going, okay, that could be a good game because so-and-so stepped up. But nobody was able to step up. And on top of that, you're exactly right. Jokic's game, it looked deflated. And Kat was a huge part of that. I mean, the team defense was a huge part of that. But Kat was also the one that was making his life so much more difficult. Kyle Anderson started on him and was just like poking the ball away, coming down on him, doing whatever he needed to do. Dude. Felt like everyone
threw understood. Different looks at him.
Yes.
One of my favorite plays of the game, Naz Reid is defending him deep in the paint.
Yeah.
Again, this is hard dealing with him because Jokic has the size advantage and it's Jokic. Naz Reid stayed vertical, blocked the shot, right? And then Jokic gets it back. Conley in help pokes it away. Jokic gets it back again. Yes. Naz Reid with a great contest to Jokic miss. You made Jokic work hard. You made him miss. That frustrates him. That fatigues him.
Yes.
It was definitely one of those nights for Denver, and it was caused by that defensive focus by Minnesota.
Even that play that you're just talking about right now, that play alone was a shot that Jokic is used to making.
Yep.
That it was so close and easy in the paint, and it usually just goes, oh, of course he makes that, is what we're saying as NBA fans. But not tonight. You're exactly right. Even the shots that we're so used to seeing him make were not being made.
This Minnesota team is just flying around right now, too, and it's like they go there. I mean, again, they're missing Gobert, and they go, all right, we'll go Kyle Anderson. We still have Naz Reid off the bench. We're fine. And it didn't feel like they missed a beat. I think it also helped them in some ways offensively in this game because, you know, with Kyle Anderson, you have to respect the shooting ability a little bit. Of course, he's going to do more in terms of shooting than Rudy Gobert. He can hit the mid-range shot. He could space the floor and hit the three. Well, now you're in a five-out situation.
Yep.
And now you've got Jokic. He has to come out and chase at times. Jokic doesn't want to do that. And when you're playing that those heavy minutes, and then it's not Anderson, it's Naz Reid who came in and was raining threes, and it was just easy.
Raining.
He's getting great looks and knocking them in.
Naz Reid finished 4 of 8 from beyond the arc, and it felt like he was going to drop everything. Yep. I mean, I think he was shooting almost perfect from the start of this game.
He had 4 blocks, too.
Yeah, it was, I mean, another guy, I think every single guy in a T-Wolves jersey tonight, you talk about their defense, and it's like, yes, we know what they were all capable of and what they were doing. But Naz Reid, to be adding the offense that he was adding, and we've seen him do it on both ends of the floor, but his shots tonight were even more deflating. I think just because they were such big threes, he was making them just at such an efficient level.
Yeah.
And when you have the other guys coming off the bench unit also contributing at a high pace like that, yeah, it's going to deflate you.
And hey, it comes in Conley, Naz Reid pick and pop situations where Jokic is probably helping a little too much or playing off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't do that with Naz Reid. So if he kind of shades over worried about Conley, well, Conley's going to make the right move. He did. He found Naz Reid, and Naz Reid's like, I'm going to knock down this shot. So I thought Minnesota just played a game that was beyond impressive with what was at stake, right? It's not easy to win in Denver. They lost 8 games this season.
Yeah.
Okay. They've lost 2 in a row now. They don't lose 2 in a row often throughout the NBA season as a whole. Definitely not a lot at home. This was a big time performance by Minnesota in this one. Naz Reid was awesome. We talk about Kat. Another guy I want to point out, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, comes off the bench, 14 points, 6 rebounds. He also had 3 blocks. Naz Reid and Nikhil Alexander-Walker combined for 7 blocks.
You look at the defense there alone, like we've already mentioned 700 times. But even when McDaniels was coming off the floor and then you're putting Alexander-Walker on the floor, it's like, oh, your defense does not take a hit. That side of the floor still stays right up there. The perimeter pressure still stays right up there where the disruption is going to be there. And I think ultimately it was the disruption of the defense all night long. They were up 20. And what was happening, Deuce? I looked at you and go, they're pressuring the backcourt right now.
They're picking up Murray full court still.
It's a 20-point game, and they just did not want to let their foot off the gas, and they executed the game plan in every way possible. Everyone just understood what they needed to do. And another stat I want to point out really quick, too, because I think you look at something like the offensive rebounds. Minnesota finished with 10, and Denver finished with 18. And at first, like, I look at that number, and it felt like Minnesota finished with so many more with the way that they were just, like I've mentioned, relentless, the way that they would position themselves and nobody would box them out. And that was happening on both ends of the floor. And really, that ended up being 14 second chance points for them. So they were capitalizing on those opportunities where the Denver Nuggets only finished with 8 second chance points.
I'm glad you brought this set up because this says everything about the effort from Minnesota in this one.
Yes.
When you're a great defensive team, we cannot undersell this. I always mess that up. Let's not understate what Minnesota did defensively, okay?
Yeah.
That number she just mentioned, it's multiple efforts, right? Denver missed some shots that they'll probably make going forward. There's a lot of physicality. Game 3, the officials will blow the whistle more for sure. But don't get it twisted. The length impacts things. The effort impacts things. The relentless approach, the will, it all impacts things. They had 18 offensive rebounds that turned into 8 second chance points. That tells you everything about Minnesota's defense. But what about transition defense? When you turn the ball over, it can be deflating. Mm. Okay, Minnesota had 12 turnovers tonight. 12. That's not a bad number. You know how many points Denver scored off those turnovers?
How many?
Two.
Yep.
Two. Points off turnovers tonight, 19-2 in favor of Minnesota. Denver had seven more turnovers, but it was 19-2. That just shows you what Minnesota was about tonight. They were not playing around. Maybe a little bit in the second half, they let off the gas when you're up big a little bit, but they still end up winning by 26 points.
Now, here, let's go back to even the beginning. Aaron Gordon started this game, and he sure. was the only player that was adding offense on the floor right away, right? I mean, he had to work hard for every shot that he was making. But then, as things got chippier and more physical, felt like he started to force things. And then it felt like everyone else was just not executing their role correctly on that end of the floor, whether they weren't moving without the basketball, or maybe too many people were moving yeah. without the basketball and cutting at the same time into the paint. And then what that caused, plus the frustration, plus the no calls and all the other things, was everyone getting frustrated. And as soon as one of your leaders in Jamal Murray gets frustrated and he gets his head out of the game, throwing heating pads onto the floor and everything when
That's
he was on
I'm
the
saying,
bench,
man.
It was like, oh, this is already game over. I don't know why. I get it's hard, Deuce, but like, you've been here before. You got to do better than that.
They held Denver to 34.9% shooting. Denver shot just 30% from three, 9 of 30. Jamal Murray was just 3 of 18 shooting in this game.
Yep.
And Minnesota felt comfortable enough to throw doubles over at Jokic, which always concerns me. It's like you're throwing doubles at a guy who's a really gifted passer. But I think Minnesota feels comfortable with their ability to scramble. And because of their length, they're able to close out and still make life more challenging. The closeouts were great. The on-ball pressure, the physicality, everything about what Minnesota did tonight was a thing of beauty defensively. It was a championship-level performance.
And then on top of that, you had the Denver Nuggets being lackadaisical
yeah.
with some of their passes. You had one from Jamal Murray behind the back into three defenders.
What about late in the game? I know it was not the game was over, but it's in transition, like a 20-point game. Gordon's dribbling in transition, goes between his legs to pass it to Porter out of bounds.
Yeah.
And Jokic had some bad ones, too.
He was trying to get it to Porter. Yeah, Jokic. I mean, how many
he had four.
Okay. So he ended up with too many turnovers for him too, right? I mean, a lot of these plays are deflating when they're coming from your leaders, but also when you're not playing with a certain edge, when you're already playing like shit this entire game, and then you're like, okay, we got to play a perfect game down this stretch if we want to even come back in this one. It felt like that wasn't there. It wasn't there mentally. It wasn't there physically. One more thing I don't want to forget too is Reggie Jackson in that injury. We wow. saw him limping off to the back, the locker room as well.
And some big picture stuff right there for Denver, right? They already are banged up. KCP's playing through stuff. We talked about Jamal Murray. He's playing a little banged up. And now Reggie Jackson. Mm-hmm. So they don't have a lot of depth at this point. And now you got guys banged up. That's why I'm not feeling good about the Denver Nuggets. Before we kind of look ahead, the guy we haven't even spent much time talking about.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards.
Oh, that guy.
Anthony Edwards in this game finishes with 27 points. He had 7 assists, 2 steals. He was 11 of 17 shooting. His teammate Cat, by the way, 27 and 12. We talked about his defense. He was 10 of 15 shooting 3 of 5 from 3. Going back to Ant, I think one of the things that just impresses me so much about him for someone his age, and I know we raved about him after game 1, is, you know, they're throwing more doubles at him. Mm-hmm. You can't speed this guy up. You can't. It seems like he makes the right decision every time.
Yeah.
They may try to bait him into a certain move. No, he's going to make the right basketball move every time. What stood out to you about what we've been witnessing with Ant?
When we talked about Cat, we talked about his maturity
yeah.
taking a leap. And I think with Ant, I think his basketball maturity has taken Oof. A leap, right? And that to me is, like you're saying, making the right decisions. And does that come from being around a veteran leader like Mike Conley? I don't know.
I think that helps.
We've heard that so yeah. many times, you know, someone that plays with so much composure and plays basketball the right way. And I feel like he's getting some of that. And already we already know what he can do with, you know, his athleticism, his edge, the way that he plays with so much fire, with so much joy. Like, it's so enjoyable to watch. I mean, obviously, if you're not a Denver Nuggets fan, but it's so fun to see him play out there. And I think sometimes even his ability to get to the rim, like with an easy layup, it's scary.
Those turnaround jumpers, they are contested.
Those are his shots. And like, you're just seeing him being able to do it all, though. It doesn't matter if it's from 3-point land, he's a threat. Doesn't matter if it's in the mid range, and it doesn't matter if he's attacking the rim, he can turn on the Jets, explode, and go.
So Minnesota gets the first two in this series, and now the series shifts to Minnesota. Gobert is probably going to be back for that game.
Yep.
Minnesota down 2-0. They're banged up. This Minnesota team is more confident than they've ever been. How are you feeling about Denver? Do you think
I want this series to be over? I know that's such a dick thing to say. Yeah. I just, after watching, hear me out. After game one, you said to me, you were like, I don't know, I'm feeling like Minnesota could, you know, take this all the way, Western Conference, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, don't be a prisoner of the moment. After game two, I'm like, holy shit. I think even though it's a small sample size, I can't imagine their game just plummeting.
No, and that's the thing. They've won
all
their playoff games.
Yes.
They're 6-0 in the playoffs.
There you go.
Okay. They've done it in dominating fashion.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a team playing better than them right now in terms of just complete performance from star play. You have a star alpha guy in Ant who looks like he is emerging to being one of the best players in the league right
100%.
Now. 100%. And you saw it this year, but it's another level now.
Yep. And a different, and then different every, stage.
Then you've got like the Vet and Conley. You've got the wings who can defend.
Yeah.
You've got guys who could shoot the three. You've got bigs. You got size. I'm going,
you have this adversity being thrown at you. The coach, Rudy Gobert.
Yes.
I mean, just like the list goes on.
Yep. It's crazy to think about it. And Denver, I don't think they have it. I don't think they've got the depth to, you know, can they win a game in the series? Sure. Yeah, of course they can. I'm not trying to diminish what Jokic has accomplished this year in his career, what he's capable of, but it seems like they have not gone off to a good start yet in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, does Jamal Murray have something? Does he have a big game in him?
Well, he did against the Lakers.
I know,
but it's a different story against that roster.
Also, it was still a struggle against the Lakers, even when they won, right? Oh, so when you start bringing up like health, Minnesota's defense, you go up and down the list, it's hard to find a path at this point.
Also, when do they mention the MVP award?
I think it's this week. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's not, it doesn't feel like it's going to be as magical. Obviously it's a regular season award, but I'm thinking for the Denver Nuggets roster, like them going, yay, like, great. We have
it's
the MVP.
Time.
It's just a tough time. They're dealing with a lot themselves, I think more so mentally. And now you got someone like Reggie Jackson even going down. Hey, you got to just look in the mirror, make your adjustments, and come out better for game three.
Well, the fun continues. We got game one, Cleveland, Boston. Then the one I'm looking forward to, game one, Dallas and OKC. Bring them all on, Mel.
Yeah, I'm excited for all of them. Boston, Cleveland, like, give me, you got to, like, buy my love. Like, I need
to. You know what?
I don't have trust in this yet.
We had super high expectations for Minnesota, Denver.
Yeah.
And they've probably fallen flat in terms of competitiveness, right?
Sure.
I have low expectations for Cleveland, Boston. Maybe they'll surprise us.
Hey, I like that way of thinking.
Appreciate you guys checking in with us during our Kings off season, but know the content never stops with us. Make sure to give us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. All it does is help our channel grow. We appreciate you guys so much, but we gots to go.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. Podcast that you know, Deuce and Mo.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.